God's amazing grace poured into our lives throughout the week. We return to His Word this day, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. I invite you to hear now the Word of the Lord. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The Word of God for us, the people of God. But today we continue our sermon series, Extraordinary, where we take a look at some of the extraordinary ways God works through the ordinary practices of our life to make a kingdom impact in the world. We look at some of the regular things that we are called to do as Christians, but we recognize that God can do some amazing things through these practices. Today we begin with a simple insight that Jesus offers us. He says, look, you know, the things that we say, the things that we do in our life, they come out of who we are. They come out of the condition of our heart. And so it begs us to ask the question, how do we then determine the condition of our heart? Where do we begin? And of course, we begin just a few verses prior to this insight right here. We go back just a few verses before what Mr. Lynn said this morning to the children. Because we go back to the point where Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's saying, you know what, some of us, we spend a lot of time looking at other people and the specks in their eye. We spend a lot of time inspecting their lives, inspecting their problems, inspecting their condition. But what we really need to do is we need to begin by looking at the log in our own eye. We need to begin with some self-inspection. And as we think about the condition of our heart, we know that the condition of our heart, as they say, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. It's going to determine so much in our life. And so we should begin then with self-inspection. Now, as I think about the practice of self-inspection and all that goes into it, I'm reminded actually a couple of years ago I had a chance to go by and see Mount Rushmore, where you had the president's faces carved out in granite. Amazing to see. And you know, I sat there and thought about it as I was looking up at it, all that would go into making those faces in the side of a mountain. What I didn't think about at the time, and what's really interesting, is what all goes into keeping the faces on the side of the mountains. Because they're made out of rock in the front of a mountain, and just like every other mountain, conditions occur. Birds build their nest. Trees, the seeds, find their way into little crevices in the rock, and they start growing little trees coming out of them. And so every year around September, they have a whole group of people who go through Mount Rushmore, and they take down all the bird nests, and they take down all of the trees growing in there. And more importantly, they look at all those little crevices, all those fissures that have formed in the faces of Mount Rushmore, and they begin to fill them in. Because Mount Rushmore is in South Dakota, and it gets a little cold every now and then. And so when the water gets in there, as it gets cold and freezes, it begins to expand. And so if they're going to keep the faces the way they look, they have to keep those crevices filled in. Otherwise, over time, the cracks get bigger, and they begin to start losing parts of the mountain. And so what's important is every year, year after year, they inspect those faces. Well, in the same way, we as Christians, we are called to inspect the condition of our heart. Not just every now and then, but on a regular basis, to go back to see how are we doing. Because rarely does someone fall apart in a day. Our heart rarely just falls apart in a day. It falls apart bit by bit by bit. And so as we continue to inspect and understand, how is it with our heart? How is it with our soul? And of course, as we continue to go through what Jesus was teaching just a few verses before the insight of our scripture this morning, he taught that bit about the tree and the fruit. And he said, look, you know the kind of tree it is by the fruit that it bears. And so in the same way, when we're inspecting our heart, we can begin to have a biblical evaluation of our life by saying, what's the fruit that we find there? What is it that's in our life? And the more that we see love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the more that we know the fruit of God's Spirit is growing in our life. But the less that we see that there, the more we realize that something's growing, but it's not that. Now, I don't know about you, but for some of us, and I'm just going to put my hand right out there. I'm going to put myself right out there and acknowledge the fact that if someone was to walk up to me and said, are you bearing good fruit or are you bearing bad fruit? Are you a good person or are you a bad person? I would probably initially say, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. You know, I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. And the problem is in Scripture, as you read through the pages of Scripture, rarely is there a place where God says, well, you know, you're not really that good, and you're not really that bad. No, God always pushes us and says, where are you? Are you good or are you bad? Are you having good fruit and good deeds and good words in your life? Or is there evil words and evil deeds in your life? Because God doesn't want his people to be left in the mushy middle. God doesn't want us to have tasteless fruit in our lives. God wants us to be the kind of people who are going to make a difference in the world. And so not only does he call us to the Lenten practice of self-inspection, where we are called to look at the condition of our heart, he gives us a biblical evaluation, a standard by which we can say, okay, is the fruit in my life good or not? And if it's not, then what do I need to do to make a difference? What do I need to do to make a change? Because here's one of the deep truths of what Jesus is teaching here in our passage this morning. What comes out of an evil heart are evil words and evil deeds. And what comes out of a good heart are good words and good deeds. And we know from the wisdom tradition in Scripture that those who are living a life of wickedness and evil practices and evil words, their life has a destiny and it's ruin. And those who live a life filled with God's goodness and their heart is filled with God's goodness, we know that their destiny is going to be a life that God is richly blessing them. And so where we are going in life is determined in part by the condition of our heart. And so my question for each of us today is, where are you headed? Where are you going to? A couple of years ago, there was actually some confusion on an airplane. And passengers could see the flight attendants up front, and they were kind of scurrying around and talking with one another, rather excitedly trying to figure something out. And finally, the flight attendant came on over the speaker and said, okay, there seems to be some confusion here on the plane. We just want to make sure that there's clarity. This plane is going to LaGuardia. If you believe you're going to Dallas, Texas, you need to deboard. You need to get off because we're going to LaGuardia. And so the passengers sat there expectantly wondering, I mean, who got on the wrong plane? And so they're all looking and they're waiting and they're waiting for someone to get up and get their luggage out of the overhead bin and make their way up the aisle and get out of the plane. And they're waiting and they're waiting and minutes go by. And finally, the door to the pilot, to the cockpit, opens up. The pilot steps out and nods to the passengers and says, I hope you have a great flight. I'm on the wrong plane. Where are we headed in life? Are we headed where God would have us go? Or are we heading in the wrong direction? Or maybe we don't know where we're headed. But in any one of these conditions, we know that God has called us back to himself. Through that Lenten practice of self-inspection, inspecting the heart, to know that there is a biblical evaluation, the fruits of the Spirit's a great place to begin. To say, how are we doing really? What are the fruits in my life? Knowing that the decisions that we make are going to impact where we go and where we end up. But Jesus isn't done. He keeps teaching and helping the disciples understand. Right after this insight where he says, look, out of the heart comes evil deeds and good deeds, depending on what's in the heart. He then teaches something. He says, you know, the wise man is going to listen to my words and do what they say. And it's going to be like somebody who's going to come along and they're going to build a house. And they're going to find a good, solid rock to build their house on. That's the wise man. The foolish man is going to listen to these words that I say, and they're going to go away, and they're not going to follow through with what I'm talking about. And they're like the person who built their house on the sand, and the floods came, and the winds pounded, and great was the fall of that house. And as we think about the condition of our heart, we think about that teaching that Jesus says, look, I've told you what you need to do. Go and do it. Part of what we need to remember as we consider everything that hangs in the balance of our heart condition is to know that we are not supposed to be the ones changing it all on our own. In fact, typically, that's the foolish side. That's the foolish way of going about things, to say, you know what? I don't have all the best fruit in my life, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sweep it under the rug so that God doesn't see it. I'm going to put on my Sunday best in my life before God so God doesn't see all the fissures and the cracks and the problems in my life, and I'm going to do my very best to just put on a big smile before God because I don't want God to see the dirt and the problems. And the problem is God already knows the dirt and the problems. God's waiting for us to understand the dirt and the problems. God already sees all of it. And so when we seek a change of heart and life, then we need to begin with a life grounded on solid rock so that when we start that heart inspection, we don't end up with a sense of shame and guilt in our life. Instead, we begin a heart inspection recognizing God's forgiveness and grace in our life. That's where we begin heart inspection. We begin there knowing who this God is and who God has called us to be, a people who know His forgiveness, who know His love, who know His forgiveness. And then we move on. We move on from that heart inspection, knowing God's grace, to that biblical evaluation, knowing that God is a God who desires to strengthen and empower us. One of the great images that the Apostle Paul says when he's writing to the Ephesians, he says, you know, the very power of God that lifted Christ out of the grave, the very power of the resurrection, that is the power God gives you. That's the power that you have. And that's the power that we're going to need to have a change of heart in life. And that's why we can never do all of this on our own. We can never look at our heart and go, wow, it's a mess. I need to change and come up with a plan and go do it. We need to first and foremost turn back to God and say, I can't do it on my own, but you have the power to help me. You have the power to lift me up, to cleanse me off, to make me new. And so we always must return back to God. He becomes the solid rock on which we stand. If we have a heart condition in need of a change, He is the great physician for whom we turn to instead of ourselves. And if we take this Lenten practice of self-inspection, considering the condition of the heart, it is amazing what God can do. It's amazing the changes God can make, the crevices God can fill in, the new life He can give to us. With a simple practice of regularly inspecting the condition of my heart, the fruit in my life, and recognizing the God who so desires for me to know His love and His life fully. If I were to do that on a regular basis, imagine the difference God can make in my life. And if you do that on a regular basis, imagine the impact God can make in your life as your life becomes more and more in the image formed of your Creator. He created you in love, and He desires to heal you and allow you to live life in that way. And so my great hope for you this Lent is that you will know that love more powerfully and more fully by the time you get to the end of Lent and celebration of Easter than you do right now. And so I invite you to a Lenten practice of self-inspection. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank You for just this amazing love You pour out for us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we are always amazed at the images that You can make. And You have made each one of us with Your love. And not only have You created us, but You sustain us. And You call us to new and full life. So, Lord, grounded in Your grace and Your forgiveness, and living life every day in that hope of the salvation that we have in You, Lord, may we walk this day, take Your hand, and be guided by Your love. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.
On the night before Jesus was betrayed, when great heart reflection needed to happen around the table, Jesus, in a forgiving and grace-filled spirit, gave his only gift he had to give. He gave himself. He gave his body on the cross, and today we lift before us the bread of salvation, the bread of life, Christ's body broken for us. And today we lift that same cup that was lifted on the night in which he was betrayed. It's called a cup of forgiveness, a new covenant. It's Christ's blood poured out on the cross that can pour through us and renew us this day. If you would pray with me. Holy Spirit, pour upon these gifts of bread and juice and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. Holy Spirit, pour upon each heart here for some renewal, some filling of crevices, for some powerful resurrection healing, so that we might bear good fruit in this world. Holy Spirit, be upon this time, be upon this week, be upon this Lent. In Christ's name we pray, and God's people said, Amen. Amen. We invite